UK Wine Show, show number 4. G'day and welcome to the UK Wine Show. This week we're going to be talking about screw caps, corks and plastic fantastics. That's right, we're going to be talking about the way bottles are closed. The debate in the UK seemed to have matured quite a bit over the last year. When we first started running wine tastings and screw caps first came out, a lot of people objected to them. They didn't like them. They thought the screw cap had lost the romance. In recent times, a lot of people are saying screw caps are better than corks. This week, we're going to explore the screw cap debate and see what the situation is. We've got two people coming up. Peter Ferreira from Grahambeck Wines. He's a winemaker at Grahambeck. He chaired a debate at the London International Wine Show with Jamie Good on closures, and they explored the different options. We'll also be talking to Susan from Nomu Corks. They're one of the leading plastic cork manufacturers, or as she likes to put it, synthetic closure. This week's show is brought to you by 3050, the UK's leading wine tasting company for your private and corporate needs. That's 3050.co.uk, 3050 Wine Tastings. But before we get into the interview, we're going to have the news with Jane Scott.
Cheers, Chris. English wine company Ridgeview was celebrating last week when its sparkling wine was chosen to toast the Queen's 80th birthday at a lunch at London's Mansion House. The company's Merrick Grosvenor 2001, made from Chardonnay grapes, was selected after a blind tasting by a panel of wine writers and masters of wine, in conjunction with the BBC series Great British Menu. The owner and winemaker at Ridgeview, Mike Roberts, said they felt very honoured and special to be chosen for the toast, but that it was hard having to keep it a secret in the months leading up to her birthday. The company is no stranger to honours. Ridgeview's Merrick Bloomsbury 2002 won the International Wine and Spirit Competition's Best Sparkling Wine, while its 2003 vintage got a silver medal at the Effervescence du Monde, a competition that ranks sparkling wines against champagne. We asked Mike how he would describe the wine. He told us, like the Queen, it's ageing most gracefully. The UK is Australia's largest wine importer, and Aussie wines count for a quarter of the UK market, but did you know that sales to China are on the up? According to figures released by the Australian Wine and Brandy Corporation, sales to China have soared by 482% in the past year. This is great news for the Aussies, since they have a bit of a wine lake, and the increased sales are mostly of cheaper or discount wine, so it's helping them to reduce their surplus. And finally, Cliff Richard has been duped by Gordon Ramsay. The singer-turned-winemaker was a guest on The F-Word and was asked to blind taste two wines during the recording of the programme. The first, which Cliff declared as amazing, was revealed by Gordon to be a £400 bottle. On tasting the second wine, he said it was tainted, insipid and tasted like vinaigrette, at which point Gordon told him it was Vida Nova, the wine from his estate in the Algarve in Portugal. Allegedly, Gordon is now using the wine for vinaigrette at his restaurant at Claridge's, where he says it's going down really well with the tuna.
Excellent, Jane. It's not the first time Gordon's tried to dupe someone with a bit of wine tasting. He gave Matt Skinner a bit of a run for his money a wee while ago. I remember watching that show. It just goes to show how hard it is to spot a blind wine. I think poor old Cliff suffered a wee bit, because when you drink a really top quality wine, as they did first, any wine next to it will taste nowhere near as good, and will actually probably taste a lot worse than it actually is. Also, Vina Nova's grapes, it's quite a new vineyard. They planted originally in 1997, so they've only had about two or three vintages off that. And most grapes, when they're first grown, can be quite light in style. So it's no wonder that compared to a top quality mature Bordeaux that it didn't show up as well.
I think also it was slightly unfair. According to Cliff Richard's spokesman, he'd actually already tasted six wines, he'd had a meal and his palate was pretty jaded, so it's probably slightly unfair on Cliff as well.
Okay, next up is an interview I did a wee while ago with Peter Ferreira from Grahambeck Wines. Grahambeck's one of the leading South African sparkling wine producers, but they also make some nice still wines. Peter's going to be talking about corks, screw caps and the new plastic fantastics, and see what the best closure is. Okay, back here with Peter Ferreira. You were in at the London International Wine Show. You were discussing with Jamie Good about the latest changes in the screw cap versus cork debate. Do you want to give us a quick rundown on what the current thinking is, or and your opinion on it?
Because I think we finally arrived that we understand that it's not more the sort of debate whether it's screw cap or cork. I think we've just got a very good understanding now that cork is far more unreliable and that there are better suitable alternative closures, of which screw cap is one and synthetic closures is the other. I think what we've... and it was really an interesting debate. You know, it wasn't, you know, my closure is better than yours and blah, blah, blah. And I really think we've got an understanding now as to look how closures are going to look in the next 10 years.
What is that? Because, you know, as you're saying, the three basic closures are cork, screw cap versus, and then plastic. Yeah.
Just to give you a brief little background, I do so many wine and dines and things like that where invariably, you know, having natural closures now, I'm talking about natural cork, what happens is when we have a big wine and dine evening where I have to open 10 bottles of one wine and I open it up and invariably just check them for any taint or, you know, that the wines are sound, invariably there'll be two or three that I'm not so happy with.
Yeah, you get big... We do that a lot.
You get a huge variation and... I think what we have to understand as winemakers, you know, we put so much effort to get the quality right there. So we have a very good idea what the end consumer should be enjoying. And, you know, we never know that by using cork. So what we have got as an understanding is that consistency is far, far more important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is where the alternatives do come in. Screw cap is a fantastic alternative. When you open one and you open bottle number 10, they're all the same.
Yep.
You open it with plastic or synthetics, it's very similar. So we've got rid of the sort of inconsistency of wine. That is the main issue for me between natural cork and then the alternatives.
What about, so you're not so much worried about the cork taint in the wine, you now think that have you tried any of the new corks yourself, maybe in your own winery, because they've been trying new stuff, cleaning out the cork taint, or TCA as they call it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the TCA. Invariably we know, and there's so much research done by especially the Australian Wine Research Institute, that cork taint is there. It's 4% plus. And you can make that percentage any percentage you really want to, depends on how you see it. But what they have done is that for far too long, you know, the cork suppliers didn't want to understand that there was this contentious issue of cork taint.
The old ostrich hitting the sand.
Hitting your sand. You know, we've got ostriches in South Africa. You should put the... when it's 40 degrees, they bury their heads under the ground. I know why. But anyway, so I think now that the alternatives is so much in fashion, cork suppliers have woken up. And I have just recently been in Spain to the Diam treatment of corks.
They're one of the big Spanish producers, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a French company who's put up the plant in Spain. It's Una Bouchage, and they have what they call a reconstituted cork. So what they do is they grind down the cork into sort of very small particles, and then they do the Diam treatment. The Diam treatment, it's quite technical, but it's in a chamber where they will, at a certain temperature and pressure for CO2 into this chamber where this cork is passing through. And what happens is this CO2 is neither liquid or gas, so it's a slurry. Yeah. So it abrases this cork particles and eradicates it and sort of sterilizes it. And then these pieces are then reconstituted into a cork.
Yeah.
Now, the nice thing is, it's just not made into a cork-like thing. It has a certain amount of permeability. So they have two grades of permeability now.
That means let the air in.
So that we can let the air in. What I think what we've learned out of screw cap closures, and it's also improved over time, 10 years ago there was one closure of screw cap, and it had zero transferability. But these days, screw cap has got thin or liners inside, which has a certain permeability.
Oh, so they're allowed, you can now...
Yep, it's all happening, yeah.
One of the big things I've been reading recently is that the fact that screw caps don't allow oxygen into the wine, and as a result, the wine tends to age without oxygen, which changes the way the wine ages.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically,
thanks. Hypothetically...
Have another glass.
Yes, thank you. Hypothetically, the screw cap is 2,000 times more efficient than natural cork.
At
a given. So if you have a cork allowing a certain amount of oxygen in, it's less likely 2,000 times that a screw cap's going to do that. That's why they've built in these liners to give you permeability, so to let the wine age a little while. Otherwise, the wine's never going to mature.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, you know, there is certain wine styles that we'd like to see progress over time, because that is the way we would like to see that wine style.
When I've been running tastings, one of the things I've been telling people is, you know, if you want to age the wine, you need the oxygen, so, you know, cork's the way to go, whereas if the wine's young and fruit-driven and you want to drink the wine young and fresh, like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, for example, screw cap is by far the best closure, just because of that 1 in 5 or 1 in 20 bottles of wine aren't corked and you've got a consistency. Would you agree with that, or do you think there's that with these new liners that the oxygen getting in, that's not true anymore?
Well, no, I think you're totally spot on. I mean, I think you understand the issue 100%. It's just in the recent times, and I'm talking for the last 3 years, these liners of permeability that they use in screw caps as an inside liner. So if you roll off the screw cap, yeah, and you look inside,
that
silvery thing, it's spongy.
Yep.
And there they've got this permeability.
To let the oxygen in.
Oh, okay. But research also tells us we're not exactly sure how much oxygen does need to be transferred. Because if you look at a natural cork, you can have a cork that has got the same contributions virtually as a screw cap. It's been proven. But because of the inconsistency of the cork, it can't be guaranteed.
So you might have one that lets in loads of oxygen, whereas one lets in just a small
amount. Virtually nothing, yeah.
And what about the synthetics? Because they used to be that, whilst they're plastic, you think that no oxygen would get in, but it seeps down the side, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've refined the process, where at first, you know, with no permeability, it still was running out, between the cork and the inside of the glass. So, yeah, it was running out that way.
And that's why it was always so hard to get the plastic corks out, wasn't it?
We started off with that, and we normally had to supply a corkscrew with every case of wine we sold, because invariably somebody came back and said they couldn't get the cork out. You know, so
you shouldn't be using your tape.
They were breaking their screw cap, their screw pulls and things like that.
Yeah,
it was really so. Yeah, so it's come a long way. I think the most important and the debate for the future is that winemakers have to become designer winemakers. We have to design a wine to suit the closure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we have to change our approaches a little bit. And also, I think we have to understand what the consumer wants.
That would be, for example, people saying that if the wine's not going to have much oxygen in it, you may run copper or copper it.
Well, you know, I think you're touching on the fact that some of the wines become reductive once they've been bottled.
That's
so they go into a hibernation where you get sort of sulfurous compounds building up, which is not too nice.
And you manage that.
You know, I see sometimes, you know, somebody's just pouring it and then they quickly shake the glass to sort of get that reductiveness out of the wine.
Oh, so if you do have a wine that smells a wee bit sulfury, just let it breathe a bit and that'll
clean it. Sometimes it does. It really depends how strong that sulfur bounding is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I yet to find, you know, screw caps that really show you this. It's really minuscule, and I really think it's also to do with winemaking.
Yeah.
You have to refocus. You have to look at your nutrients, not only look at the wine prior to bottling and say, oh, we have to make sure that this wine is ready. So you have to analyze the nutrient levels as the juice comes in, because sometimes you have a deficiency already there that develops this sort of reductive characteristics.
And what about the plastic closures? You know, do you guys use plastic closures on any of your wines?
That is how we've sort of progressed. You know, we've understood that screw cap is an alternative, and we've been doing our own little in-house research. But we've also found that the next step up was to go for synthetic closure, the plastic closure, and we've had great success because we have wines in the marketplace that we want to be enjoyed in 9 months. So that type of closure was perfect for that wine style.
I used to historically recommend people not to put wines, buy wines for aging under plastic because of the amount of oxygen they were known to let in. But yeah. I've heard that other closures now are maybe a bit better and not letting as much oxygen in. Is that true? And if so, would you maybe suggest trying to age the wines under?
Yeah, I think one will have to really research that a little bit more, but I know for a fact that on a wine that I would like to see develop over time, let's call that time 2 or 3 years in the bottle, I still like natural cork. I might consider this new reconstituted one because I will have my consistency, which is a plus factor. And I know that a wine that I want to sell within 9 months, because that is how my consumer is going to or likes to enjoy that wine, the synthetic closure is fine because the synthetic closure gives me approximately 18 months. Oxygen-free.
Yep.
Before it really picks it up. So yep. I've got a safety barrier of another 9 months using synthetics for that wine style.
Yep.
And then if the consumer alternatively wants screw cap, I have to do the major investment to invest in changing my bottling line to adapt for screw cap technology.
You're not running screw cap at the moment at Glambeck Wines.
We've done our homework. We know the investment is quite large. Of course, we've managed to have the understanding that for the wine style that we need to sell early,
yep.
Synthetics work. But if we have a customer that wants screw cap, we are ready for it.
Well, thanks very much, Peter. It's been great talking to you about the screw cap coaches, and good luck with the rest of the trade tasting.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good
Cheers.
To see you.
That was Peter Ferreira from Glambeck Wines talking about the new corks and closures. Next up, we have Suzanne from Nomu Corks. I cornered Suzanne at the London International Wine Show shortly after talking to Peter Ferreira from Glambeck's. Suzanne is going to talk to us about the new synthetic closures that Nomu are making and how they perform compared to normal corks.
Hi, I'm here with Suzanne from Nomu Cork. They're the synthetic closures. They make plastic corks for wine bottles. Do you want to tell me a wee bit about your corks, Susan?
Yes, with pleasure. So Nomacork is a co-extruded closure, which means that you have a core and a skin outside. And, well, this kind of technology gives several benefits, like permeability, of course. We do check the permeability, and we have we know the oxygen transfer rate that we can offer. And then,
Just on that, the oxygen transfer is quite important for wine because obviously the more oxygen you get in, the more the wine it's going to oxidize, but there's problems with it not having any oxygen as well as...
Right, well, let's say that is a new mantra. This is something which has been around during this London Wine Fair. And actually, oxygen today is the mantra. So, Nomacork offer a product range which is able to give you different oxygen transfer rate products. And based on this oxygen transfer rate, the winemaker can really use or select the best closure for its wine because there is no only wine or there is no only one closure. We need different closures for different kind of wines today.
Yeah, I was talking to Graham Beck earlier in the day here, and he was saying that they use it for some of their wines because you've got no risk of cork taint, which is good.
Yep.
But also for wines that you're going to drink maybe within the next year, these sort of corks give you a good value and also consistency.
Correct.
No variability in the wines.
Yeah. So consistency is really a word which is linked to Norma cork, I would say, because the quick extrusion allows you to make always the same closure. I mean, it's an inline process, so all the closures will have exactly the same performances, which means that your wine, a batch of wine, will perform exactly in the same way and will have exactly the same evolution. So all the wines, all the bottles will be the same, and that's very good great advantage for end consumers, of course.
Yeah, I run wine tastings, and you open 10 bottles, and you get such a variation between all 10 bottles.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen with a normal cork closure.
Okay.
So this is why you find many wines on the UK market using this closure, of course.
How are you guys dealing? One of the things about synthetic closures that have got my back up a wee bit is trying to get the cork out of the bottle, and then trying to get it back in.
Right.
Is there anything you guys have got in the pipeline, or is there anything you've done recently to try and assist that?
Right. Numacorp, you can very easily get them out from the bottleneck, so that's not an issue. And of course, well, it depends really on the time the cork stayed in the bottleneck. Sometimes you can reseal with the same cork, otherwise you need another one. And we do produce bar tops too, so what we do is that we use bar tops to reseal the bottle. It's even better, because normally you need to put the cork upside down. It's not always good, because you can have some dust on one side. Okay. And it can happen on with synthetics and with natural, of course. It's even worse with natural, I mean, say, because if you keep this wine in a storage, well, you store it in a not very good way, you have a lot of dust on that.
Yeah,
on
or
that
even
side.
Mold sometimes.
Oh, form, yeah, exactly.
Forming on
yeah,
the bottle,
yeah. And so then you spoil your wine.
And those bar closures, they're the ones with the plastic cap, and then just a wee bit of cork sticking out that you put on the top.
Well, the bar top. This is the bar top. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have several here on the booth actually, and okay. We've been distributing these bar tops to exhibitors the first day of the fair.
Okay.
And I think they were quite happy because they've been using them.
Yeah, I've seen them around a bit.
Yeah.
So,
good.
All right. Thank you very much, Suzanne.
My pleasure. Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Suze and Peter Ferreira regarding corks. If you're after any more information, on the 3050 website, there's a write-up on corks and closures and some of the issues. That ends the UK Wine Show, show number 4. Next week, we're going to be talking to Lisa Grimley from Wines of Germany. They're the UK representative for the German wines in the UK. German wines have had a bit of a revolutionary change in recent years as new winemakers have come on the scene, and see what they've got in store for now and in the future. Cheers and good drinking.